Liftoff will start in T-minus 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition.
Hey there, and welcome back to ESA Explores. If you've been keeping up with our latest series, you've already met some of our new astronaut recruits. So, are you ready to meet our next ESA astronaut candidate? Today, our guest of honor is Sophie Adenau. Sophie is from France, and she started in April 2023 with her journey with us here at the European Astronaut Center near Cologne in Germany, diving into her one-year basic astronaut training. Passionate sports enthusiast, experienced helicopter test pilot and engineer, Sophie will give us a glimpse behind the scenes. So let's get started. I'm your host, Laura Zurmühlen, Denzel Lorges on the sound desk, and this is ESA Explores. Hi Sophie, welcome to our ESA Explores podcast. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thank you. Hi Laura, and hi to all the space fans listening to us. I'm so happy to be here today as well.
Oh, awesome. So you recently started, or a few months ago, you came to the European Astronaut Center here in Cologne. How is it for you since you arrived?
I really loved all the experience of joining this place in Germany. The European Astronaut Center is a place full of very talented and very motivating people, and I really love this place. Working in here, for me, it's fascinating.
Is there anything in particular that stood out to you? So you started training, so like both you mentioned the people already, but also in sense of training, is there anything particular that you really like?
Yes, well, there are so many different aspects of our training. What I really like is the variety. We have a lot of a mixture of many different classes. It can be theoretical, it can be research, it can be operational, it can be sports sessions, it can be so many things. And I really enjoy this variety, jumping from one class to another, from the sports gear to the flight suit, from sharing the experience with space fans, doing some communication. So really, it's hard for me to say my preference
to pick one
because I really enjoyed the whole experience as a whole. But if I had to take some, like maybe two things, I would pick the sports training and the pool training, the EVA training.
EVA stands for extravehicular activity, which is basically spacewalking outside the spacecraft. During EVA training, astronauts practice moving in space, using tools, and most importantly, staying safe. To mimic weightlessness on Earth, EVAs are practiced underwater in very big and deep pools. Here, astronauts can float through submerged replicas of space station modules, getting ready for the real deal in space.
Which requires to be very fit.
Yeah.
This is why I mentioned as well, the sports training.
Yeah.
I really like it. Sports for me, it's cool. It's grounding for the day. And then the second thing I like, that was such a different point of view, and I was so astonished to discover all this. So meteorology classes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The
weather classes. It's so funny because as a pilot, I was used and I was trained to recognize the clouds and to analyze the clouds and understand the weather systems from a scene from the ground or a scene from in the air. But now you have to be able to recognize the clouds and all the weather systems from space.
Wow.
And so it's a completely different look. And this really summarizes my experience in here. Since I arrived at EAC, I just have the impression that it gives me such a different perspective in everything, not only in the weather system, but also in life or in my understanding of space. In general, space adventure, space flight. And so, yeah, it's just a symbol of everything.
But now I have to ask, because I'm curious, why do you need to know about the weather once you're in space? Because you're above the clouds, so to
say? Yeah. Well, there are different aspects. You do contribute to Earth observation when you're in space. Mm. So, for example, if you see a hurricane, then you take pictures, you explain, you see what you observe. You explain what you observe. So it's very good to be familiar and know directly when you see something, be able to name it.
Yeah.
Like, this is a hurricane, this happened because of blah, blah, or this is going towards this part of the country. And so you really help for Earth observation. So it's good. And the second aspect is, well, of course, it doesn't rely on our shoulders at all as astronauts, but the launch and the reentry are depending on the weather as well. If the weather is really bad, if there's a storm, you can't launch. So just have an understanding is always useful. Although, I mean, you don't decide it yourself, of course.
Yeah. But it's amazing how you have to have an overview about all these things, so you're not just only doing science on the space station, mm-hmm. but also Earth observation, and mm-hmm. then of course you get prepared for all of these things right here at the moment.
Yes, exactly. That's fascinating. And so it's not only the team in here at the European Space, the European Astronaut Center, but it's also visiting professors who come here to teach us, and they come from all over Europe. And that's also very interesting because we then have a chance to meet the experts from all over Europe. And it's really, really interesting.
So they come here, and do you travel a lot as well to different locations?
So we do have some travel, but it's not the main part of it. I mean, most of the basic training happens in here at EAC in Germany. We do have some travel. For example, we did some traveling for the sea survival training.
Oh, wow. That sounds exciting.
Yes, it was great experience. It was a lot of skills training, actually, for if in case the spacecraft lands into water, that we would need to be able to have the major skills to be able to survive. Mm. So it was more a skills training at this step. We did, and for example, tomorrow we'll be leaving to the Netherlands for a centrifuge training.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So
and the centrifuge training is also connected to skills for landing and or for the launch? Or what do you train on?
So actually, we'll see, because I have done some other centrifuge training, but this one, I don't know what it is. Yeah. But my guess is that it's going to be about being able to deal with high Gs. Apparently, from what I've understood, we'll go to 6 Gs. To experience, to know what it feels to be at 6G. And so we'll see.
Have you done it before? Because you also have a very impressive background as a pilot. Have you already? I have to admit, I don't know if you experience more G forces as a pilot or the things you did before. So is it completely new, or did you have already experience with?
So there are several points. So I did already some centrifuge training. Centrifuge training is not part of the curriculum for a helicopter pilot. Yeah. Although I did, when I was at MIT, I did my master's thesis studying how the vestibular system adapts to artificial gravity. And for we had a small centrifuge. And the task was to design the training so that people on the centrifuge would get less and less sick with the sessions.
Ah.
So initially, we would do everything to make sure people were sick.
Oh,
and then,
oh God.
And then after a few months of training, we ended up having the result and showing that, after some training and after well-designed training, they're not sick anymore.
How did you find volunteers for that?
In the student community, you found many volunteers. Yeah, and it's also, it's all about preparing space flights.
Yeah.
Everyone is so enthusiastic. And where I was at MIT, it was in the Aero-Astro department, and we had so many enthusiasts.
Did you try it yourself as well?
Yeah, of course. And I got sick, everyone. But after a while, you get used to it, because it was the purpose of getting sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is the first point, but it was not haiji. This one was not haiji. It was just just making movement of the head so that the vestibular system experiences Coriolis forces. And and so, well, I won't explain the whole science behind, but so it was not haiji's. Mm-hmm. Then as a test pilot, I had experience of haiji up to 7G. But as a pilot, the different thing is that you don't look for sustained high Gs. Mm-hmm. From what I've understood, but we'll see again, maybe the same question in a few months, I will have a different answer because I'll have made some progress. But for astronauts, you need to be trained for longer sessions mm-hmm. of high Gs. And so it would be 6 Gs for a longer time. Not only for launch and reentry, the thing is that it's also in a different axis because it's going to the chest, not going from the brain to the feet.
Yeah.
So it's a different skill to learn.
Yeah, and it feels different, I guess, also.
I guess it feels different because the key thing when you do like pilot high G training, it's you faint in case there's no blood in, not enough blood in your brain because the G force pulls the blood down. Okay. And so for astronauts, the center is not the same. The direction of the force is not the same. So it's another training. And I'm very excited to do this.
To do that. It sounds amazing. I really want to hear the outcome and what happened after that. So there were already some funny moments in the training. Is there anything else that happened here that already or still brings a smile to your face, also maybe with your fellow astronaut candidates here at EAC?
Oh, yeah, there have been so many of them. Although if I could remember one very funny one, I was with Rosemary for photo shooting. Like we had to get our pictures for the flight suit and I was paired with Rosemary.
Yeah.
And at one point, the photographer, Andrea from ESTEC, he said, okay, so now smile again. But I don't know, at one point I couldn't like smile naturally. So I did such a funny face and he took a picture of this and this is the...
And this is your new postcard.
Yeah, and no, and it's a hilarious face. So, and I kept this picture because it's a very good memory. It's the best of all of them, a really funny face. But but there have been many nice moments.
So it's nice, like, I don't know, you have a good group dynamic, I feel. It's
such a good group dynamic.
Good to be together, because you do all the training sessions together or you're separated sometimes or have individual trainings?
Yeah, so it really depends. So, for example, when we have classes, like theoretical classes with visiting professors, we are all in the class together, mm-hmm. but sometimes the training sessions are individualized. For example, in the NBF, the neutral buoyancy facility, it's mainly individual or with a paired another person, so that the training can very be targeted to our skills.
Yeah.
And robotics training, for example, it's just one person at a time. Ah. And it's also very interesting. I love it.
What is it then?
So robotics, it's fascinating. You have a VR helmet, so virtual reality helmet, and first step, it's being able to recognize all the modules on the ISS and travel around and be able to say, okay, this is the antenna UHF, this is the S-band antenna, this is... And so once you get familiar with all this environment, then you have to be able to obey to orders to move like forward, aft, to nadir, zenith, or just have some operational tasks and movement, navigation.
Who of you recognized the terms that Sophie just mentioned? For or forward is the direction a spacecraft travels, typically in its orbital motion around Earth. Aft or backward is the opposite direction. Nadir is directly below the spacecraft, like looking straight down towards Earth from the ISS. Zenith is directly above, so opposite to nadir. While fore and aft come from maritime terms, nadir and zenith have Arabic origin and come from astronomy. These terms help with navigation and communication on spacecraft and the ISS.
And the rest I will discover because I just started yesterday. So I'm very excited.
So all new. So mm-hmm. there are still new things coming up, or it's not that you did, I don't know, like the basics and everything in the beginning and then it just continues. So also over the next months. And
yeah, so many new things. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's and it's organized with a kind of modules mm-hmm. and like every time there are so many new modules to come as well. So
yeah.
I'm glad to discover this.
That's amazing. So you already mentioned that you're a big sports enthusiast. What kind of sports do you do outside of the astronaut training?
So I love many sports, actually. I love trying many new sports. I guess I have some grounding sports that mm-hmm. I use more as instruments for everyday well-being. And these are running and yoga mainly. And all the rest of fun sports like whatever could be mountain sports, mountain biking,
adventure sports.
Nice. Yeah, these are more for fun. But the grounding sports for everyday for me would be running and yoga. Yeah. And I really like they help me. They help me for both physical and mental strength.
I guess it's a good thing to balance out, so to have the both things, and like you say,
and as well what I learned when I learned a bit more yoga is that you learn finding comfort in your uncomfortable zone. Mm-hmm. This is all about life or training, an intense training like this, because it is very frequent that you're into your uncomfortable zone because the instructors, for example, sports, they would want to push you into to further, not in your comfort zone. And so you, in yoga, you really learn to, okay, accept this, accept that progress is going to be like the thing you're going to have with baby steps every day. And even if it's sometimes uncomfortable because you're pushed a bit, mm-hmm. But then it's all right. It's just for your own progress. And then 6 months from now, you'll see, how much progress I've made.
Yeah. And are you looking forward then to do exercise on the space station or in space one day?
Yeah, of course. I'm such a sports enthusiast. So, in space, I'm looking forward.
But you think
forward.
There won't be enough space to do all
You can always be creative. I trust the creativity of our sports instructors. And I trust the creativity of the crew. I'm sure we'll find some fun thing and even some fun thing to share. I mean, Samantha, she tried out yoga in space. It was great. True.
Are you up for trying it yourself as well?
Yeah, of course. Yes. It's whatever new challenge, I think, is going to make me happy.
Yeah. Sounds great. I'm also looking forward to see that. So I hope you will share some pictures. And if I
remember well, in terms of running, I think Team Peak ran a marathon
in space.
Yes. Yeah. So many, I'm sure we'll be creative to find nice things. Yeah, of course.
Amazing. Looking ahead to future missions, what are you most excited about experiencing?
Well, it's
apart from sports.
yeah, of course. I'm really happy to come as a scientist mm-hmm. In here and to be trained as a scientist to do research. Of course, also with my background, I like the operational stuff, and I like taking checklists and running stuff, even doing some like mechanics parts and maintenance and all this stuff things, and the next challenge, I guess, that's very fascinating for me is extravehicular activities.
Oh yeah, so spacewalking.
Spacewalking, yes. And I think this is really a challenge in terms of strength, physical strength, but also mental strength, and also team coordination, because there are so many clever people around to think and to be sure that everything goes smoothly for the safety of the whole operation and for the performance of the whole operation. So this is going to be exciting. So you asked me, what are you most excited about? I answered by so many different things because I really like the variety.
Yeah, but I love to hear that you're just excited about everything. So I guess that's the best that can happen. So that's really nice. We were talking about science on the space station, and I mean, everything is moving forward super fast right now, all the technology and missions. Is there anything you're looking forward in the sense of space technology or specific experiments or things that might happen in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think right now it's really exciting time for space exploration, for space technology, and for technology that can be reused on ground. Mm. So many things are happening. I mean, artificial intelligence. We are also like material science, advancing in crystal growth. I could mention technology developments. To be maybe more specific, I'm also fascinated by the way you can use space to better develop procedures. For example, medical procedures mm-hmm. for people living far away that wouldn't have a doctor. Yeah. You would create a procedure for distance, because astronauts, they're far away from all the doctors on the ground. So you, if someone gets sick on board, you would have to find a solution.
Yeah.
And for future lunar missions, if someone gets injured or has a cut, you would have to find a solution. So right now, people are working on finding procedures to be able to solve medical problems from a distant point of view. So it's not only just checklists and procedures, not only training the astronauts, but being able to, for example, put a hologram picture of a doctor who would show everything. So it could be, it is a very new and challenging area. And I find it fascinating. Distance learning as well. Yeah. I mean, you could do use space as an experiment to see how you can enhance learning experiences, having virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And so, space can be used for many things and many technology developments. And I think we can't even imagine what will come out of all these experiments. And this is what is fascinating.
Yeah. Do you see any challenges that may come with that?
Well, it's always challenging to operate things from far away. So it requires a lot of coordination, and I guess, it will. There will be unplanned events, and this is why also we send humans to space, right? Because humans are better able than robots to deal with the unplanned and uncertainty and complexity and risks and all this stuff.
And I guess that's also then why you and others are here to find out more about just these things and to get trained and be flexible then in these kind of situations.
And adapt to the situation. I mean, the artificial intelligence does great things, of course, but right now we are at a step where we still need humans in the loop. To make better progress.
And is there anything you would say is the most rewarding aspect for yourself to be here and to be trained for exactly these things?
There's so many rewarding aspects. I really loved it, this job, and I'm so happy and enthusiastic to be here. I would say on a day-to-day training basis, I would like to mention maybe the EVA training, because when you do all your EVA session in the pool and you it's very
because
rewarding.
You train them underwater, right?
Underwater, yes. And it's very rewarding when you think, okay, I've managed to master these and these skills and it's all done. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish I could do that myself. we can see the pool here in the astronaut center, and it looks very impressive. So when you have the mock-up underwater.
Yes.
And do you have any message maybe for someone who is now very inspired by all the things you said and who wants to follow in your footsteps?
Yeah. Well, I probably, yes. So if I remember well, when I was a little girl and I was dreaming about space and space adventure, reading books and all this stuff, I felt like all this world was so far away and I would never be able to reach it, because it was, I came from a little village where, I mean, there was no space scientists, there was nothing like this. And I thought, I will never be able to reach this world. It really felt like it was an Everest in front of me. So whoever listens to this podcast and feels that he has an Everest in front of him or her, just I would advise one step at a time, one baby step at a time, one nano step at a time, one micro step if you want, I don't know. But I mean, just put one step forward, one foot forward, and try, okay, if I need this skill, maybe I can try to get this skill by this way. If I need to learn this theoretical thing, maybe I can just ask a professor to teach me this this knowledge. Or if I need to get to know more people, maybe I can go to this ESA Open Day or whatever. If I need to get some motivation, because on a daily basis it might be tough to work a lot, then I can go watch a movie. Or if I on space with space fans, or if you know, just if you feel that there's an Everest in front of you, just make and focus on each step.
Well, that was really inspiring, I think, and very relatable as well. So I think this is for a lot of things. If you really want to reach your goal, just go step by step and still have your dream in front of you. And thank you very much, Sophie, for spending this time with us today and sharing all your stories.
Well, thank you, Laura, and thanks to all the space fans listening. And I wish you and all the people listening all the best. A lot of adventures, a lot of grounding experiences as well, and a lot of fun in life, because life is too short. So let's have fun. Thanks again.
Thank you. That's fantastic advice. So don't hesitate to reach out and visit our website if you want to learn more about how to follow your space dreams. To delve deeper into Sophie's journey and the astronaut class of 2022, check out our ESA Exploration blog at blogs.esa.int/exploration. For the latest updates on Sophie's adventures, follow her on social media at sof_astro on X and sof_astro on Instagram. You can also follow her on LinkedIn. Join us on X at ESA Spaceflight using the hashtag ESA Explores for more exciting content. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe, share, and follow us on your favorite podcast platform and ESA's YouTube channel to help us connect with even more space fans. And for the next episode, our guest will take us on his fascinating journey. Coming from a background as a surgeon and a Paralympic sprinter, he's currently involved in a unique feasibility study with ESA. So stay tuned and thank you for listening to ESA Explores.